We have put every church website strategy that we could think of to the test, and the results absolutely shocked us. From SEO hacks to social media boosts, we found out what actually is working in 2025. Let me show you. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we're talking about things that are actually working on church websites in 2025. Should be a good conversation. We have tested just about everything we've ever heard of when it comes to church websites and tried it. There's nothing new under the sun, as they say, but things do change every now and then.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good conversation for us to have about the things that are working, what's not working, and just kind of go through some of that stuff here for this year. So for those that don't know, Ian, you and I have been doing church websites since 2006, 2007 time frame.
Like I was about to say.
The dark ages.
Back
then, churches generally didn't have websites and we were helping them get their first website.
Back now, then, it was still okay to use AOL.
Yeah, we had people on dial-up even that were talking to us about their website. So
that's right.
Gosh, we're so old, Ian. It's ridiculous.
I know. Hey, but this gives us a lot of experience on this topic. How about that?
You're a little bit more experienced than me, honestly. But yeah, it's great. Today we're going to go through, I guess, the things that we see that are working right now. And I think we have 9 tips, it looks like, here that we want to share with you guys about what we're seeing.
We got 9, and let's dig in. And this should be helpful because I will say one more thing before we dig in. You know, websites have been around a long time, like we just joked about, like we have. But basically, in the day and age of social media, apps, everything else, different software systems and all of that, things, your website can sometimes get abandoned in the dust, and it should not, because it is still where about 80% of people will end up before they visit your church. So just to emphasize the importance of it still, and most marketing that you do online these days will funnel people to your website if it's done right. So very important, Thomas. We'll dig in. We have 9 tips. I'll just pick your brain on each one of these. This one seemed, we chuckled almost thinking it was a no-brainer when we were talking about this, knowing your audience, but still relevant.
Yeah, I think this is important. Like, this is the fundamental problem with like just the off-the-shelf cookie-cutter template website.
Yeah.
Where you take, maybe you'll change around the colors, but you're using just generic pictures of people for all of your images and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I can't tell you enough like how that is so done. Like your website at an absolute minimum has to have your own photography on it. Like just if you're using stock photos of racially ambiguous or, you know, multicultural people on every page of your site, that's just something that's from a different time. People can see through that. That's familiar to us now. So you got to get this right. You have to know your audience and you have to be honest with them. But at the same time, I'll kind of say this. This is one of the cool things you can do with a website is that you can't deceive people into being something that you're not and thinking that you're something. So if like a lot of times churches will have this issue of being an older congregation and they want to reach younger families. Well, what you can't do is just put only pictures of kids and young families on your site. But you can kind of sprinkle in your ideal audience into your website there in moderation, I guess. So you don't want to trick anybody, but at the same time, you want to make sure that you're painting the picture of what your church is becoming and kind of a vision casting one. So so to that end, I think knowing your audience and getting the kinds of photography and video and things on your site that would appeal to them, that's what's most important. Now, the caveat here is you got to remember that people generally will feel connected or most likely to visit a church where they feel like they can relate to the people that are there already. That's why the photography and things are so important, is you want to make sure that you nail that and paint that right kind of picture and knowing your audience of who you're trying to reach.
Another way to put that is make sure your audience or whoever you're targeting feels like they fit in already ahead of time on their website. So that's really good. This next one I think is missed a lot these days. It's improving your search engine visibility. So SEO.
Yeah. Okay. So quick definition here. I think for churches, the most valuable kind of SEO, there's lots of disciplines in SEO.
Yep.
The most valuable kind is local SEO, which means when someone types in a search like church near me or churches in Austin, or whatever it would be, that you would rank in Google's map pack, which is usually the three churches, if they're searching for churches, plumbers, if they're searching for plumbers, but the three that Google thinks are the most important ones for that searcher to know about.
Yeah.
It's based on all kinds of criteria, somewhat. It's certainly based around proximity. You know, they're not going to show, if you type in churches near me, Google's not going to show you churches that are 1,000 miles away. They're not even going to typically show you churches that are 40 miles away, but they'll try to get something that is that you're most likely to go to. So that's an important part of the ranking factor that you have the least control over, is how far you are from the searcher. But there's several other things that you can do to improve that, like making sure you have really great citations on all the listing sites out there, getting lots of Google reviews. This is actually a service we help churches with, but I got to tell you, this is so important to make sure you're really nailing this. In fact, this is incredible. We got a testimonial from a pastor just the other day.
He
called one of our project managers to say he told us about this story about an experience of someone that typed into a search engine, churches near me, and wound up finding their church. Now we help this church with this service. So we do our best to make sure they are ranking when people put in that search. This person goes to church for the first time, has a good enough experience that she comes back a couple of times and winds up going to their new members class. And in the new members class, she shares with the pastor that the day she typed that in, she was planning on taking her life that night and decided she wanted to give God one last try and typed in churches near me in like Rowlett, Texas is where she was. And this church happened to come up. God made a total change in her life. She gives her life to the Lord and is now God just doing something really amazing. Yeah. So this is the kind of power that this has. And that's just one anecdote, but we hear stories.
Awesome.
That's probably the coolest one. But like we're starting to hear these kinds of stories of people finding churches this way all the time. So
that's
definitely something really important to get people on there. Take that part seriously.
That's such an awesome story. Yeah. Definitely couldn't believe it I could believe it, but it was awesome when we heard that the other day. Mm. So, well, good. So next one is highlighting upcoming events and community involvement.
Yeah, I think this is something that I've found is really important. So events, I think, are generally more for your church family. Like, so it, usually if someone's not aware of your church, they're not like looking at your church website, hey, let me find a church where I can go to an event this week.
Right.
Like that's not how they think, right? They're probably going to come to a first time, like a service for the first time.
Service.
So it is more for your church family is what your events section are. But I think the community involvement part is really something that first time visitors are looking for, because someone, especially those that don't yet know the Lord, I think that's something that they really are hungry for is trying to find some kind of meaning in their lives and ways that they can, you know, have a greater impact than just kind of the self-focus that so many of us are plagued with nowadays. So highlighting community involvement, we've seen that to be really effective lately, especially.
You and I, Thomas, we used to do an outreach together when we pastored together here in the Round Rock, Texas area called Laundry Love, where we would just a couple times a month wash people who were, you know, on hard times, their clothes for free just to be a blessing to them. Well, my half-sister, who doesn't have a relationship with Christ, when she heard about that and saw that we were doing it on our website and I had invited her to a service I was going to preach at or something along those lines, she said, you know what? No, I don't know if I want to come check out your church, but man, this Laundry Love thing you guys are doing, I'd love to be a part of that because you're really helping people there. So case in point.
I've heard that so many
community
times
involvement. Community involvement. Yeah. So, but that's just one example, but I'm glad you mentioned that. So, but good. So, so next one would be using social media to drive website visits.
Yep. Perfect. Yeah. So this is something that I think you need to make sure you do it this way and not the other. A lot of times churches want to use their website to drive social media visits.
Right.
But I want you to understand this principle that a website visit is much more valuable than a social media visit because you control the platform and it's something that you can actually, you know, you can kind of dictate the terms of what's happening there. So I always encourage churches to drive traffic from social media onto your website. So the ways you do this are like in this video right here. I'll probably at some point mention some kind of a resource that we have, and we'll talk about the link being in the description, and then you can go over to our website and get the actual the thing that we're talking about. On Instagram, you'll see things like link in bio is what people will say, and then you can go to the bio and drive traffic there to your church website. On Facebook, it used to be things like you would be able to link articles that you had on your church website, maybe a blog post or a sermon, you would link that on Facebook. Now, this strategy is basically worthless at this point, because if you have outside links, Facebook learned a few years back that, well, that just makes people get off of our Facebook platform and go on to another site, so we don't want to use those anymore. So they'll give you effectively zero reach if you put in links, like a couple of people maybe. So all that being said, I think it's actually becoming less valuable, because social media channels don't want you to send traffic off of their site and onto your website.
Everyone's competing.
I think it is still worth trying, especially in these kinds of environments, like on a YouTube video, where hopefully we'll create some kind of value for you as a member of our audience, that you'll want to learn more about us or get involved with one of our services, or, you know, I'll do it now. We mentioned the local SEO thing and the power that had. I shared that testimonial with you, how important it is to get people onto your church site. If you're looking for help in that area, take advantage of our free local SEO report. You don't have to buy anything from us. You can just get a free report that I'll link to down in the description here below, where your church can see where do you rank on Google right now, and we'll give you some clear marching orders on how you can make some improvements on that there. So that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. See how I baked that in? That's nice.
I love it. That's a great example. At least we gave two testimonies of other people being impacted first.
Yeah, exactly.
So no, that's a great illustration and a good example. It works similarly for churches. So yeah, next one would be creating, and to me is a no-brainer, but I've seen so many churches miss this next one, Thomas. That's create content that serves new visitors.
Yeah. Okay. So this is like our fundamental rule of church websites is your church website is for visitors first, members second.
Correct.
And it's not even really very close, because the reality is that like your members, they have very limited things that they're going to do on your church website. They will get onto your events page. They'll get onto your sermons page. And maybe if you have other resources and blogs, they'll get onto that. Yeah. But every other page of your website, whether it be about your ministries, it be about your staff, those kinds of things, and about your beliefs, your pages about, certainly your plan, your visit pages, and those kinds of things, your homepage, absolutely. Like, those need to be for visitors first. That's who's going to see it. That's who you're trying to engage with. And so you need to just really think through that. So there's not much more to say about this, but I would do an audit of my website if I were you, and just kind of dig in and say, okay, like, can we do anything on those pages, the primary pages on the site, to make them more visitor friendly? Are we using any internal language that maybe we would know, but someone who doesn't know Jesus yet wouldn't know? Answering some of those, even like with a belief section. Yeah, you could have a link to like your detailed like beliefs about like what you believe about justification, or you know, doctrines on Calvinism and Arminianism. Yeah. That's fine. But who doesn't care about that is people that don't yet know Jesus, and they're looking for a church where maybe they have some answers for them. So at a minimum, I would recommend doing a simplified belief section. So, you know, something that just is really the basics of what you believe. And then you can give all the details somewhere else if someone wants to dig into the nitty gritty of that kind of stuff. So those are the kinds of things I'm talking about. Dig in a little bit and try to offer a super simple beliefs page. Just visitor friendly pages throughout the site.
Yeah, and one last thing I'll say, you know, there's a lot of the whole website throughout should be visitor focused, and there will be some information and event sermons for members and all that, and some of those things are dual for visitors also. But yeah, I'm surprised how many websites I come across where churches don't even have a page focused on the first time visitor. This could be called an I'm new here page, a plan your visit page, or visit us page. Shocked how many I don't see with that. You definitely want to have that page and that visitor geared content on there. So that's good stuff, Thomas. So next one's making sure your website is mobile friendly. I mean, if someone doesn't know this by now,
Yeah. Yeah. I think the mistake we make too is that we design websites on computers and then we view websites on mobile phones, right?
Right.
On mobile devices. So that's the fundamental issue, is that when you're designing it or you're putting in content, you're usually doing that in a different device. And so it's an important practice to, like, when you're designing or when you're putting in your content, like, always have your phone open and look at it and see if it's looking the way you want it to on a device like that. Now, any website you purchase or build, like any builder that's out there that's worth its salt, will be fully mobile optimized. It'll be responsive in design, that kind of stuff right now.
Yeah.
So usually you don't have to worry about this as much, but I would just say the advice I have is check it. Like, design it on your computer, that's fine, but check it on a mobile device before you hit that publish
phone. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's a no-brainer. Next one is using analytics, or specifically Google Analytics, I guess, to gain valuable insights on your website.
Yeah. Here's the trick that I'm using right now, and this is one of the best use cases for AI in my view, is having it analyze data for me. So you should be using Google Analytics, but for most people, and kind of myself included, to be honest, it is so deep that it's hard for me to get like actionable insights to do things with. But what I can do is download a big Excel sheet, basically, of data from Google Analytics. I can pop that whole thing into ChatGPT or Claude or whatever you want to use, and I can ask it to give me some insights on advice on what do you see from this. And, you know, it'll tell you things like, well, visitors, like first-time visitors to your site, are spending a lot of time on this particular page. And, you know, maybe you could focus more on the language on this page. It'll give you some real insights about time on site and number of pages that are viewed and where conversions are happening. And there's just so much data to be mined. So for the uninitiated, or maybe you're new to this, absolutely use AI to help you come up with some answers on this. I would give it a prompt of something like, you know, you are a world-class Google Analytics expert that is able to pull out some of the most profound insights in the world when it comes to church analytics. Now take a look at my analytics and give me some feedback. Give it something as simple as that and you'll get great results.
That's good. Yep. Utilize AI for that as well. So good. So next one would be turn website visitors into real world guests.
Yeah.
It's just, obviously we mean just converting someone to a first time visitor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So the way you do this is what you were talking about before, Ian, is that I'm new page or a plan your visit page. This is something that I think is so easy to implement and is one of the small things that a church can do to see dramatically better results when it comes to their number of first-time visitors, but not even number. I think it's the stickiness of their first-time visitors. We had a guy at our church just recently, filled out this form, and he shows up for the first Sunday, and I had sent him, what it lets you do is he'll fill out the form ahead of time, and I can send an email ahead of time, right? As a pastor, I can write and say, hey, Joe, I'm so excited to meet you on Sunday. Yeah. Let's make sure you and I connect. And so I happened to be there, thank goodness, and I kind of warned some of our greeters that, hey, Joe is going to be coming. I changed his name for this here today, just for his privacy. But I told my greeters, Joe is coming today. If you meet a Joe who's new, make sure you connect him with me. So he winds up connecting with me. I get to have a few-minute conversation. I found someone who was kind of in a similar life place to Joe, connected him with them, and they hit it off. They chatted for like 15 minutes after service. He winds up going to his life group on Saturday morning, gets connected with another men's ministry that's at our church, and he's just fully in. And I think
that's awesome.
A lot of that is because we pulled forward this communication and asked them to plan their visit, and it just makes them much stickier. So this is a huge thing to move the needle, not a really heavy lift, and I think every church should be doing it.
Yeah, and this is what I mentioned earlier too, just making sure you have a first-time visitors page, whether or not you call it plan a visit, I'm new, visit us, but that means on that page, content that's geared towards the visitor. And that could be a welcome video. That it's definitely frequently asked questions. It's not just all theology, here's the beliefs. It's breaking the ice with them. And that we've seen turns people into Joes that you just mentioned, yeah. Thomas. So that's good. So exactly. Last but not least, maintain a strong and consistent online presence. I guess another way to say that is make sure you keep your website up to date.
Yeah, I think that's true, right?
Yeah.
So there's nothing worse than that. Like if you have your Easter graphic up in July and that kind of stuff, it's the clearest way to say that this church doesn't really care. And that's a church that people are probably not going to visit if things are out of date. So things like having your sermon, just have systems in place that these things get done, that you have up-to-date events, that you have your sermons on there that are regular. Honestly, like, I think sometimes we overwhelm ourselves with this, but you don't have to change most of the pages on your site very often. You know, you probably need to do a refresh every few years or something to make sure the look is current and you know, you don't have pictures of babies that are now graduating from high school and that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but
right.
They're not, people don't all have faux hawks because it was last done in the, you know, early 2000s or something. So you do want to like do that kind of stuff, but like, you shouldn't change your beliefs page once a month, right? It should stay the same. Like, you're not changing what you believe. You're not changing your staff, God willing, very often. You hopefully don't have a ton of churn there, that kind of stuff. So you do want to do things like make sure you get staff pictures done really quickly when you get new staff members on there. There's nothing worse than like all these staff members having these really great pictures and then, you know, the other one is just a guy in a hoodie with his thumbs up or something like that for the new guy. Like that's weird. So you want to make sure you just pay attention to this because this is the first impression you have on most visitors. Yep. You want to make sure you're making a good one. So keep it up to date, keep it consistent, and do those things right.
And as they say, you don't get a second chance to make a first impression. That holds true on websites.
Absolutely, it does. That's good stuff. Yep. So hopefully this has been helpful to you. Your website, I cannot stress this enough, it remains the front door to your church. Andy Stanley had that famous model where he talks about a foyer, the living room, and then the kitchen. And how he talks about you want to get people into the kitchen. That's where the real life happens and people standing around a kitchen and having conversation and working out real issues. But it always starts in the foyer. In my view, the website is the foyer. That is the absolute front door to your church. It's where people first will encounter you. And so it's so important to get that right. So if this has been helpful to you, it would mean a lot to me if you would hit that subscribe button down below. Let us know if you have any other tips or any questions about what works on websites now and what doesn't. We take the time to answer every one of these comments that people leave down below. So do drop us a comment and we'll look forward to seeing you next time.
See you.